A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on May 14, 1989, entitled, Come, Creator Spirit. The scripture reading is Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. The text for the sermon is Acts 2, verse 17. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
It is the day of Pentecost and the celebration of the coming to us of God in a personal and intimate way. It is the celebration of a historical event in that movement of God toward creation by which God will redeem all things. It is a historical event. But there's an ancient prayer of the church which indicates that it was once for all, but yet an ongoing possibility, indeed an ongoing reality in the life of the people of God. An ancient prayer, come, Creator Spirit. The plea of the people of God for the coming of the Spirit who creates and recreates, who creates and renews, who creates the possibility of ever new beginnings. The day was a historical event. The Christian community, about 120 strong, were gathered together for worship and praise. You know, they didn't really know who they were at that time. If you had asked them what they were, they probably would have said, Jews of Abraham's seed who have found Jesus to be the Messiah. They did not think of themselves as non-Jews. They did not think of themselves as rejecting all of that that had been theirs through the heritage of Israel. They simply believed that they were completed Jews. They were experiencing the culmination of all of that that had been promised to them. They were kind of people in between. The label Christian was not yet commonly used. They had no sense that they were the first of a whole new religious movement. The day of Pentecost was an Old Testament feast. There were several Old Testament festivals, and every male who lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem was required to attend at least three of those festivals. One was Passover, which is usually celebrated about the time we celebrate Good Friday and Easter, which in the first Good Friday and Easter were together. And then there was a later festival in the fall, the Festival of Tabernacles or Booths, which was a harvest festival. And then there was this one, 50 days after Passover. Therefore, Pentecost, sometimes called the Feast of Weeks because it was a week of weeks, 7 weeks, 50 days after Easter, the celebration of this Old Testament feast, which probably had originally an agricultural association, perhaps a thanksgiving for the completed harvest of barley, and then subsequently a celebration of the giving of the covenant, the giving of the law at Sinai. So it was kind of a national holy day, and in it no one did any work. It was a holiday in that sense. And I suppose that that core of 120, which was what finally gathered together in the wake of Easter, the disciples and the small circle around them, were gathered together probably as Jews, in Jesus' name, celebrating Pentecost. Then it was that it happened. Jesus had said to the disciples, as he left them, "Wait in Jerusalem until you are armored with power from on high." And so they were in Jerusalem, and they were praying, and they were together, and they were waiting. And it happened. A manifestation of the power of God in such tangible form that it was obvious to everyone, those who followed Jesus and those who observed them. We don't know just what happened. Driving wind, shaking the foundation, some kind of manifestation of flame, some ecstatic speaking, which enabled this diverse group of people to hear the Word of God as in their own language. We don't know exactly what happened, but something happened. And what happened was that God happened. The God who has been eternally for us, who in Jesus was historically with us, at Pentecost, dwells intimately within us. And it was obvious to the followers of Jesus, who were ecstatic, that is, ecstatic, called out of themselves. And it was obvious to those who were around them, who simply thought they were inebriated. No wonder we call it spirits. The effect is similar, but the high is better when it's the Spirit of God. What did it mean? It simply meant that God, with a new intimacy and immediacy, was present in this world and among His people. That's what it meant. And Peter stood up to proclaim that it had all happened in the wake of Jesus, His death and resurrection, and His enthronement at God's right hand. And he said, what is happening is not novel. It has been prophesied. This is what Joel was talking about. And I could only read a portion of the second chapter, but that whole chapter deals with the consequence of that shaking experience of God, who was known now in power and in peace, in the personal experience of His people. And in that second chapter of Acts, we have the preaching of Peter, the response, the immediate response of those who heard, and a marvelous description of the new life, of the community of the Spirit gathered in Jesus' name. So this morning, for just a few moments, let's celebrate the reality of Pentecost. For it is the presence of God dwelling within our hearts. The Spirit of God is the promise to each one of us. It is the promise with your name written on it. It is God's promise to you. That personal. I will be your God. Peter preached, and this vast multitude responded, and moved by the Spirit of God, they said, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the key to this. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, for the promise is to you and to your children and to as many as are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The promise, well, that's the covenant promise. And the covenant promise is this, I will be your God, you shall be my people. And in this wonderful individualizing of the Spirit of God, Peter could proclaim that saving grace, which was the promise of everyone who heard and who would call on the name of the Lord. Peter says, this is it. In that day, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It is a personal promise to you. Pentecost is God's promise with your name on it. This would be a marvelous Pentecost if we could have transferred the Monday evening elders' meeting to this present moment, so that rather than me speaking of it, you could have witnessed the witness of those who have had their lives touched by grace. We've already had a great celebration here. We've had this place crawling with beautiful families. And if you'd been at the elders' meeting, you would have known that God still touches persons' lives. And when one tries to witness to that, it's often accompanied by tears and sometimes weeping. And to witness that is to join in the tears. The witness of the intimate touch of God's grace in an individual's life is often pointed to in a kind of blubbering way that leads to blubbering. And that's all right. For after all, we're talking about an encounter, a gracious encounter with the living God. Pentecost is God's personal promise to you. Pentecost, the prayer for the Creator's Spirit, is also a prayer for the healing and the wholeness of our families. On this Mother's Day, let us acknowledge not only the wonder of motherhood and the privilege of Christian family and the joys of that family circle, but let us acknowledge too that the family is often a place of pain. If I had gone back to the first chapter, you would have found that the early church was gathered in prayer, and one of them mentioned as being there among the 120 was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, Mary knew pain. Remember the words of old Simeon as he took the baby Jesus in his arms and blessed God that he had been able to see God's salvation? And then he looked at Mary and he said, and a sword will pierce your heart. Some of you know what it is to have a sword pierce your heart. And it makes a beautiful day like this doubly difficult. To such I want to say, the whole script has not yet been written, for it was tough for Mary. Remember when she went out with Jesus' brothers to bring him home because the word was out that he was mad? And he, teaching in the midst of a multitude, didn't even go out to see Mary when told, "Your mother is here," but said rather, "Who is my mother? The one who does the will of God is my mother." Ooh. Thank God he did commend her to the care of John at his death, but I always thought of that as kind of the salving of the situation. But maybe Pentecost is really the best closure, because there you have Mary in prayer to Jesus. There you have Mary waiting for the touch of God, for the Spirit of God to grace her life. Come, Creator Spirit, heal us in our homes and in our families. And of course, come, Creator Spirit, is a prayer for the church. For the church, the community of God's people, is the place where God continually renews. We have experienced now nearly two decades of renewal experience. We have experienced what it is to suddenly have the winds of the Spirit shake the foundations and challenge the structures and renew us. And one thing we have tried to remember from that experience of nearly two decades ago is that we must always keep the windows of our soul open and the doors of our corporate community ajar for God to move upon us and reshape us and fashion us into an instrument that would be effective for the execution of the mission of Jesus Christ in the world. Come, Creator Spirit, renew the church, the whole church, Christ Community Church. Shake us from any complacency. Loosen us from any bondage. Open us totally to whatever new and creative thing you would do with us. Come, Creator Spirit, renew the church. And it is a prayer for the renewal of the whole earth. For the Spirit was not invented on Pentecost, for it was the Spirit who brooded on the chaos in the creative movement of God. It was the Spirit that brought cosmos out of chaos. It was the Spirit throughout who moved upon the people of God. And it is the Spirit of God who must still and again renew this whole creation. The environment needs to be renewed by the Creator Spirit. It is a matter of life and breath. The world, the nations, need to be renewed by the Spirit of God. It is not through human planning and human ingenuity, but it is in the movement of the Spirit of God upon the nations that the course of history is affected. And maybe in our day, maybe in our day we are seeing the winds of the Spirit realigning the great blocks ideologically opposed to one another with their arsenals at the ready. I observed last evening on the news a learned, scholarly commentator who was talking about the threat to us of the renewal of relationships between Russia and China. Well, all right. So we didn't have to worry about Russia and China if they were worried about each other. But my God, people, on Pentecost, let us pray, wind of the Spirit, blow across the nations and in the halls of power, and move the leaders of the nations to do that which no human ingenuity can effect. Renew the face of the earth and bind together the people in one common family, the family of God, who shows no partiality and knows no ideological alignment, and cares not for socialists or capitalists, but only that God's children would dwell together in safety. Come, Creator Spirit, renew the earth and the world and effect your great salvation, moving toward that day when all God's children will live in the newness that the Spirit creates. Pentecost is the day that we know that nothing is impossible, that all things are possible through the eternal God, who still upholds the world in God's hand and yet dwells in the intimacy of the human heart. Thank God, the God who was with us. Come, Creator Spirit. And in the words of that ancient prayer, join me now in prayer. O Holy Ghost, come down from heaven's height, give us thy light. O Father of the poor, all gifts to men are thine, within us shine. O Comforter beyond man's comforting, O Stranger sweet, our hearts await thy feet. In passion, thou art peace, rest for our laboring, our cooling spring. O solace of our tears, upon the secrets of our sins and fears, pour thy great light. Apart from thee, man has no truth unfeigned, no good unstained. Our hearts are dry. O river, flow thou through the parched ground, quicken those near to die. Our hearts are hard, O bend them to thy will, eternal Lord, to go thy way. Thy sevenfold power give to thy faithful folk who bear thy yoke. Give strength to endure and then to die in peace and live forever in thy blessedness. Come, Creator Spirit, this is our plea through Jesus Christ our Lord.